For all of you who have just turned into a mom and wonder why I've undone my strap here, I know some of you were looking. It's okay. My physical therapist is here. And it's okay, right, Lori? As long as I don't go out, right? Okay, out or up. I'll try not to, you know, if the spirit hits me, I'll try to use my right arm and we'll do that. Yeah. All right. Boy, this is more difficult with one hand here to organize everything. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 13. Oh, yeah. Was that you, God? Oh, that was Lee. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11. You sound so much like God, Lee. I just couldn't. Man, I can tell this is going well so far. How do y'all think? Hebrews chapter 11. That is the one I prepared for, so we'll give that one a shot. Beginning in verse 1, this is what's known as God's Hall of Fame, His Hall of Fame of Faith. And I wish we had time to read the whole chapter, because I really encourage you to do that, because it's a really powerful chapter talking about the faithfulness of God's people throughout the centuries and how He has blessed them. We pick it up in verse 1. Now faith, did you ever wonder what the definition of faith was? Listen to this. Now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. That is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. Y'all know anybody like that in your life? Their faith is still speaking to you today? I know people like that. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleases God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hello. Is anybody listening? Without faith, is it impossible to please God? Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Are you earnestly seeking Him, church? By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. We want to know where we're going, don't we? Abraham didn't know. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. He was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age indeed, he was 99, and Sarah was 90, and she was barren, was enabled to become a father. Some of you in your 90s are getting nervous, aren't you? I know you are. It's okay. I'm not sure God will do that again. He might. He was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. I love the way God doesn't do anything the way people expect him to do it. Verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. Hello. I'll read that again. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. You are welcome to speak. You are welcome to move among us. You are welcome to move in us. Come and speak with power and authority and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. The sermon today is, it's about faith, not feelings. It's about faith, not feelings. Don't we attach so many things wrongly in our world, I believe, to feelings? Well, and I hear couples that will come to me that are having marital struggles, and I hear this so often, and it's like, I just don't feel in love with him anymore. I don't feel this. I don't feel that. And it's all about this feeling. It's like, love, and one of my most favorite quotes about love is that love is a verb. It takes action. Well, if you don't, it's not a feeling. Feelings are good. It's nice to feel in love, but faith is not a feeling. I heard this story one time, and you can judge for yourself if you believe it or not. But there was a man walking in the mountains, and he was walking along a cliff, and the path was narrow, and he hit a loose part of the cliff, and he began to tumble down this very, very high cliff, surely to his death. And he grabbed onto a small tree that was growing out of the side of the cliff, and he's clinging there, and he begins to yell, "Is anybody up there?" And it's silence. And he's hanging by this limb, and he's doing it with his right hand, by the way, and he's hanging by this tree for an hour, and he keeps, every few minutes, he keeps screaming, "Is anybody up there?" And finally, he hears this voice that sounded a lot like Lee Butler's, but I think it was God. And the voice said, "Just let go, my son, and I'll catch you." And he's holding, and he waits for a little while, and he pauses, and finally he says, "Is anybody else up there?" Yeah, it's an old joke, but I got to bring them out every once in a while. Faith, we're going to talk about faith today. It's not, and so you can go ahead and write that part down. It's not feelings. It's not when we feel like we can trust God. It's like, okay, well, see, that makes sense. That's, God's asking me to do this, and that feels right. Is that faith? I mean, that's, if we're honest, many times, including your illustrious pastor here, many times that's how we can interpret faith. Oh, that just feels right. Well, sometimes what God would have us to do feels everything but right, but you just know that God is speaking. Faith is talked about so much in the Bible, and I don't have time to go into all of it, but I just want to highlight a few things that the Bible says about faith. Number one is that we are justified and made righteous by faith. It's actually the actual scripture in Romans says, by grace through faith. God is a merciful and graceful God, and through our faith in him as that merciful God, we are justified and made righteous before him. And we just read this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it seems to be a requirement of of being a follower of Jesus Christ, of pleasing God. And it also goes on to say in Matthew, the Bible tells us that nothing is impossible to those with faith. Nothing is impossible. Let me kind of highlight a couple of things that I think faith, we get off track. And many preachers, I believe, get off track. God is not the great cosmic Santa Claus in the sky. Many preachers will preach that if you just believe it with enough faith, it will happen. That's not the way God works. God is God, and we can't manipulate Him through just bearing down with mentally and just, oh, I really believe. Okay, say it 1,000 times, just over and over in my head until I really believe this, and it's going to happen. You know, I'm gonna be financially wealthy. And we have, there's preachers that will tell you if you have enough faith, all of it, you know, you're going to just start getting checks in the mail. Did you know, and this is kind of getting a little bit off track before I get started in my main points, but did you know that many times it's through the delay in the answering when we grow. It's through the struggle. That's when God really does His best stuff. It's through the trial and through the struggle. We don't like the trial. We don't like the struggle because we like everything to be good and perfect and everybody to be healthy and happy and lots of money and all of the lots of friends and everyone likes us and we like it to be like that. But how often do we grow closer to God when that's going on? You think God's figured that out? You think God knows that it's through the trials that we actually grow and our faith is built? I won't give you the Reader's Digest version, but I was watching a great special. I'm a Tom Landry guy. I love the Dallas Cowboys. I grew up watching the Dallas Cowboys, and I loved Tom Landry. I got to hear him 1 year at a Promise Keepers event, and didn't, you know, he's a man of few words, but when he spoke, you listened. And I was watching this special about Tom Landry, and it talked about how he took over this in 1960. He was a great defensive coordinator and player for the New York Giants. He takes over the Dallas Cowboys, this expansion team, brand new team. His players are horrible, and he was a genius. I mean, the guy really was a very intelligent man. And he implements this system, and for 12 years he met failure. The team met failure. And it took 12 years to finally succeed and win a Super Bowl. The first, I think, 7 years, he didn't even have a winning record, which today, in today's sports world, he would have been gone at about 3 years. Three losing seasons, you're out. But he had 7 losing seasons, and he suddenly things began to shift, and they got a little better where they might win more than they lost. But then they started, remember back when the Cowboys were the team that couldn't win at all? How many remember that? I remember that when I was growing up in the 70s, in late 60s and the 70s, I remember, yes, I am that old, girls, sorry. But I remember that was when I was a kid, that was it. The Cowboys are pretty good. They're getting pretty good. They just can't win it all. They just can't get over the hump. And that was happening for several years. But I remember finally, after 12 years, he won the Super Bowl. And here, I don't have it in front of me, the exact quote, but here's what Tom Landry said in this special. They had some old video clip of him. And he said that the great thing about competitive athletics, and I think you could put life in there as well, is that it grows you through failure, not through success, not through victory, but you grow through failure. And he said the great thing about that with competitive athletics is that's how character is built. And that's how our faith is built, is when we step out in faith and trust God even when it doesn't look so good. Things are not going well. And Pam, I don't want to embarrass you, but Pam, I told her this morning, my heart soars when I see Pam coming to church. Because for several years, she went through some physical, just hard times. And we were looking eye to eye that you might not make it. And we had that kind of a conversation. And And yet she stayed firm. She stayed with her faith, and God has responded. And we praise Him for that. All right, first point I want to make about faith. Faith's source is love and trust, not feelings. Love and trust. And I put some definitions in there about faith and feelings and all that. Y'all know basically what those mean. But my definition, what I came up with for faith, is that faith is when love and trust come together and influence our behavior. That's my definition. And I'm probably bouncing around a little bit here, but with Abraham and all these other saints that are mentioned in Hebrews 11, there's a common denominator that they knew God and they knew that He loved him, and they knew that He was trustworthy. So there was this love and trust coming together that influenced their behavior. And not to bore y'all, but I'm still a little traumatized from this event back in the summer. My daughter and I went skydiving for her, what turned out to be her 22nd birthday. It took me a year for me to get me there. But there was this moment there when we were in the plane and we were heading up for the jump to 10,500 feet. And yes, I'm an idiot. And I remember saying this line to her. I looked at her in jest when the camera was rolling, and the camera guy said, "Well, what do you want to tell your daughter?" And I said, "You better appreciate this." And the motive was love. And there was some trust in there. I really, had I not at least had some form of trust in the people that the guy that I was going to be attached to, I had to have some sort of trust that this guy knew what he was doing. And so that's that moment. We're going up in the airplane, and love and trust is coming together. I certainly, to be quite honest, I didn't feel like being there. I mean, my feelings were all over the place. And I just decided, I'm going to tune it out. I told her I'd do it. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to, come up with any excuses. We're just going. So there was this love and trust coming together. Abraham, he's asked by, he's an old man. He's coming towards the end of his life. He ought to be, sitting out on the patio sipping a lemonade or something. And God says, pick up your family, pick up all your belongings, and just move. And he didn't say, move here or do this. He just said, go. I'll show you where to go. Just go. There's this, do you think that Abraham loved and trusted God? You think he felt real warm and fuzzy at that moment? It's like, yeah, this is great. This is awesome, yeah. No, God said do it, and he loved him, and he trusted him, and he just did it. Second thing about faith. Faith involves risk. Faith involves risk. As I just said, I loved my daughter enough to do something really stupid. I trusted the expertise of the instructors and the guy I was going to be attached to. I trusted that they would take care of me and her. She had a guy attached to her. But there comes that moment. There comes that moment. It's a risk. Yeah, I loved my daughter. And I did trust the instructors. They seemed to have their act together. But there comes that moment. This is really risky. You think Abraham was feeling that? This is really risky. Man, there's wild animals out there on the road. What are we going to eat? How are we going to live? Where are we going? Lots of questions. Risk, it's not a sure thing. faith is not a sure thing. By the very definition of faith is to trust to being sure of the things you hope for and certain of the things you do not see. We want faith to be a sure thing, don't we? We want God, we want to sit on God's knee, and we want to tell Him what we want for Christmas. That's our version of faith too many times. Third thing, faith involves action. Faith involves action. It's a risk, but there comes a moment where you have to take action. If you're really going to exercise faith, you got to step out. I mean, you're sitting at the door and you're thinking to yourself, this is risky. This is really risky. You go sit back down in the plane, which I'm sure they've had a few of those that have done that, or maybe vomit or something, I don't know. I mean, maybe both. Can you say vomit from the pulpit? I'm not sure. I think that's all right. So, there comes a point, you either go sit back down, which says, I love you, but not that much. I trust you, but not that much. Or you step out, and your faith becomes action. What's God? As we're talking about this, I want you to think to yourself and allow God to answer this question. What's God asking you to trust Him and love Him in? As I go through these points, what's God asking of you? Sometimes when we step out in faith, It can be back up one, I think. Back up two. You got ahead of me there, big guy. Sometimes it can be a pretty good journey. You know, I don't look too awfully terrified there. I look fairly terrified, but I'm kind of cruising right there. You know, I'm kind of, hey, this is all right. Yeah, I trusted you. This is cool. Or now go to the next one. Or you can feel a little vulnerable and out of control. That sends shivers up and down my spine every time I see that picture. 10,000 feet doing a nosedive. I mean, that is crazy. And then the last one, you can be a little stressed out. That's when you feel like your face is blowing off back onto His face. But that, you ever feel like that in faith? You step out and... And it's like, man, my face just blew off. Do you ever think Abraham questioned God? I mean, do you ever think there was any part of his journey that he just kind of went, time out, God. What in the world are you doing to me here? You know, I think he was, as I recall from Scripture, I believe he was in his mid to late 70s when God called him to pick up everything and move. And then he was 99 when he had Isaac, which was the promised heir to this nation that God was blessing him with. You ever think his wife was barren and she was 90? You ever think he just kind of went, my face just blew off, God? What? And the last point I want to make here. Faith gives God a chance to show His stuff. You know, had I sat back down in the seat and kind of went, I love my daughter and I trust you, but not so much. And I'm not suggesting that we all need to go skydiving, okay? Just as I was thinking about faith, God brought this to my mind. So don't think, I guess I need to make an appointment. Who do I call? You know, I'm not telling you it's about skydiving. I'm telling you that the dynamics are similar. that we must step out or sit down. We must trust God and know that He loves us or sit down. But when we act, when we step out in faith, faith pleases God, and lack of faith doesn't. If you can kind of come to that conclusion that if faith pleases God, then lack of faith probably doesn't please God. God wants a faithful people. He's asking us to be faithful. One of the greatest feelings in the world, and I don't say this just from the skydiving event, but in my own life, is when you trust God and He comes through. There's nothing like it. When I won't go into the whole blown story, but when Cheryl and I were making radical changes in our family and going into the ministry and leaving behind the security of job, a 20-year job and career and income and 401ks and all of that kind of stuff, when we were walking away from that, I remember Cheryl very, very clearly. There was a passage that says that we are to pray for God to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And that was Cheryl's prayer, and it became our prayer. God, there's a lot of people think we've lost our mind, but we know You love us, and we trust You, and we're stepping out. It doesn't make sense to the world. It doesn't make sense to a lot of people, but it makes sense because You've asked us to do it, and we're stepping out. And God, and I've told you this before, but you, friends in Christ, are God's promised land. You are the fulfillment of God's promises to us. God said, I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to provide a ministry opportunity for you. And I'm going to bless you. And I remember very clearly a passage that came out of Joshua that where He told Joshua as he was entering the promised land, God said, everywhere you step your foot, I'm going to claim the land. It's going to be mine. And I have felt that God is claiming the land through this church, through each of us. God is claiming the land. He's loving it. As Dennis said earlier, it may sound like a silly thing that we give $12 to sponsor a turkey once a year for Thanksgiving. That may be trivial to many of us. But those people look forward to it all year long. And when we started going over to the Carver neighborhood and began to minister to them and to begin to pray with them and do partnership ministry with St. John's Baptist Church, we saw drug addiction. I mean, they literally were selling on the street. As we drove in to go work on a house, you could see transactions taking place three doors down in the street. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was just guys hanging out for the first few months. And finally, I asked Pastor, I said, well, these guys are always out talking out in the street. He goes, yeah, I'm making a drug deal. We don't see it anymore. I don't remember the last drug deal I saw over there. There was prostitution. There was a spirit of oppression. It's not there. Now, there's still a lot of work to be done in that neighborhood, but those that oppression and the drug addiction and the stuff is lifting. And you ask Pastor Hood and those in that church and they say, how's the neighborhood doing? How's the church doing? Oh, man, it's really doing a lot better. God's really blessing us. And I hope you get a chance to go out and help pass out turkeys because it's a little chaotic and those people are scrambling and they're like, my Uncle Joe needs four, you know, and they're trying to do what, you know. But, man, just be thankful that we're not having to scrounge around for Uncle Joe's turkey on Thanksgiving. One of the greatest feelings in the world, as I said, is when you trust God and He comes through. I want to show those slides. Yes, ground. Thank you, Jesus. You're sitting at the window and you've got a choice. Do I trust You? Do I love You enough? Or do I sit down? And you take that step and He comes through and you find yourself successfully on the ground. And then here was the big payoff. One more, Lee. I was fairly relieved when she made it to the ground too. Verse 13 that we've looked at. Abraham, it says that Abraham was still living by faith when he died. He did not receive the things promised. He only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Did you know that you and I are part of that mighty nation that God promised Abraham? Many people think it's just talking about the Jewish people. But God's word tells us that through Christ, we are grafted in to that family. Through Christ, we have been adopted as heirs and sons and daughters. We are members of this grand family that God promised centuries ago to this man, this 75-year-old Abraham, sitting in his recliner, sipping on lemonade, and God said, "Trust me." What do we do with that, church? What do we do with that? As I've said before, do we just get our get out of hell free card and put it in our pocket and think that's what the Christian journey is? Is it just about us having eternal life? Is that it? I mean, that's a good thing, but is that it? Is that the call on our life? Or is it to trust Him and to love Him as He loves us, and to walk humbly with Him and ask Him? I mean, have we ever asked God, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me?" He may not be calling you to change careers. He may not be calling you to do radical things like He did Abraham. But I guarantee you, He's calling you to do something. He doesn't save us and then just leave us and set us to the side. Okay. There's one. Let me go get another one. That's not what God's business is. He's in the kingdom business, and we are part of His kingdom. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that You would begin to speak to our hearts. You would begin to speak to us and show us what You'd have us to do. Father, faith is not a sure thing. It's risky and it involves action. But You are the payoff. When we walk in obedience and when we walk in faith, You show us Your stuff. So Lord, now inspire us and convict us. What are You having us to do? What would You have us to do? Maybe it's something that we might consider simple, but very difficult for us. Like maybe it's to just love that unlovable person at work, to speak kindly to them, to take them under Your wing, to be a friend. Maybe it's to reach out to that widow woman next door to us. It doesn't have her family here. Maybe it's something really, really bold, God. Convict our hearts. Father, because we do trust You and we do love You. Because You are trustworthy and because You loved us first. We pray now in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we stand and as we close, the altar is open. I will be up front if you would like to talk to me, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or becoming more involved in this church in some way. I will be up front.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the
Faith, it is impossible to please God. So go and have faith and go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing.